Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to start our service with a greeting that Christians have been using for centuries. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Well, thank you. Would you join me in prayer to begin? Lord Jesus, you gave us an example of what it means to be meek and humble. Grant us grace in all our living to imitate your humility in every thought, word, and action. May we die to our prideful selves and look only to you and live holy for you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're willing and able, would you stand with us and sing? This first one is from the Ashes to Fire CD. Redo. Heavenly Father, may we keep our vision upon you and your kingdom. In you we see all that is good and beautiful and just. And we thank you for turning your eyes on us and seeing fit to shower us with your love and attention. Speak to us today through your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Take a couple minutes, get something to eat, and share God's friendship with those around you.
All right, everybody get one of these when you came in, a little welcome thing, let you know what's going on around here. Inside, of course, is that welcome card. We'd love for you to fill that out. Drop it in the offering box before you leave, right back by the door, okay? Share with us how we can be praying for you or celebrating with you or whatever. And two things I was going to mention of all the announcements that are in there. One is Living Hope 101. If you want to get more info on this church, we haven't done one of these classes in a long time. And several of you have been coming here for, you know, a while now and have never gone through one of those. It's just an intro to who we are, what we believe, where we fit in the big Christian family tree. If you want to be a part of that, and or maybe you've done it before and you just want to do it again, that's fine too. Just let me know on your welcome card. Make sure you drop it in the offering box so I know how much food to have ready for us that night. And that'll be good. And then the other thing is, on the table still are these little baby bottles from the Women's Center. It's, as you can tell, they're decorative, okay? They're not to be used. The top parts here are not, they won't work. But what they will work for is you open them up, and inside there's a little bit about the Women's Center and the way they serve moms in crisis pregnancy situations. There's someone for you to pray for in there. And so I'd want you, if you haven't taken one with you already last week, take one of those home with you, pray for the person that's mentioned in there, and ask God, what would you have me give to help support the work that the Women's Center is doing across Northwest Indiana? And then next Sunday, is this right? Next Sunday's Mother's Day? Did I get that right? Okay, next Sunday, bring that baby bottle back with whatever gift you wanted to put in there, and we'll have a little place out in the foyer for you to drop those off, and that way we can help support women in need here in Valparaiso and around the region. Okay, every Sunday as we've been making this Ashes to Fire journey from Ash Wednesday through the season of Lent and now through the season of Easter toward Pentecost Sunday at the end of this month, we've had different volunteers reading Scripture. And today, the amount of Scripture they gave us to read was so enormous, I asked three different people to help us read. So first up is Steve, and then I think Katie and Elise are going to come once Steve's done reading the first part. So let's have our hearts and minds open to what God wants to say to us through the reading of his word.
Thank you. Good morning. A reading from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandaki, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you were reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be our Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar, for we don't love people we can see. How can we love God, whom we cannot see? And he has given us this commandment: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. The word of the Lord. A reading from, or please stand with me for the reading of the gospel. A reading from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Elise and Katie and Steve, for reading the word to us this morning. You know, I forgot to say something during the announcements. There are some kids that have been studying God's word now for all school year, pretty much, and they went down to the state quiz yesterday, and several of them got trophies and awards and all sorts of things. So, yeah, I'm trying to remember what my mom emailed me about how many of them got perfect quizzes, and anyway, they all did really, really well. And it's really cool to see these students who are, elementary school students, and they have, memorized, they have studied, they have really learned the gospel of Matthew this last year. It was Matthew, right, that they were doing? Matthew? Okay, phew, okay. I wasn't studying it, I don't remember. All right. This week is a little bit like last week in terms of the scriptures that we've been given. Do you remember last week I was asking you if you were familiar with sheep and shepherds and all of this? Because Jesus used this image of a shepherd to talk about himself and his relationship with us. You know, he said, I'm the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep. We looked at Psalm 23 and how the Lord shepherds us through good times and through bad times. Even in the darkest valleys, we don't need to be afraid. That Jesus is a shepherd who goes as far as to lay his life down for the sheep, to sacrifice himself to protect the sheep, to rescue the sheep. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Well, this week he uses another image. He says, I am the true vine, the true grapevine. How many of you are familiar with vineyards and how that all works? Okay, we do have some. Many more people familiar with vineyards than familiar with sheep. we actually drive past vineyards sometimes. You know, you can go to Michigan and drive through, and they've got the wine tours and those kinds of things. And I know when we were in, when the group of us pastors were in Europe this last spring in Portugal, we were driving past all these just fields and fields and fields of vineyards. And Jesus uses this image, because they were very familiar with it there as well, uses this image to talk about his relationship with us again. He says, I am the vine. Well, let me find it. Where is it here? John chapter 15. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. And then he starts talking about branches that are connected or not connected, that bear fruit or don't bear fruit. And that's us. Now, in my head, I have to translate that to trees, because I'm not that familiar with vineyards, you know. Apparently, there's the vine, but then all the stuff that we normally see and think of, what I think of as vine, is really branches, where the grapes hang off of and all that kind of stuff. So I just have to think of it as a tree, all right? I just have to think, okay, he's like the trunk, where the branch is coming off of it. And then, but the idea is the same, that if a branch gets disconnected from the main part of the plant, and the roots and all of that, you know, the sustenance comes up through the roots. And this is like science class from elementary school. But you know how this works, right? You know, if that branch is disconnected, it's not going to have any life flowing into it. There's not going to be any sap, any juice, any life flowing through it that can help it to produce fruit. And so that branch is just going to wither. It's just going to die. And Jesus says, look, you need to stay connected to me. I am the vine. I am the source of life. I am the one that it flows through me into you. If you want to have the life of God in you, if you want to have the love of God in you, it flows through me. And he uses this image of his Father being a gardener who cares for the plant. Now, I know some of you have gardens. I know some of you have flower gardens. Some of you have vegetable gardens. You grow all kinds of stuff in your yards. And I know how much work that is, because I don't want to do it, and so I don't. I've seen it done. I've seen when I was a little kid, my parents had, like, along the back of our backyard, there was a whole section of it that was, you know, they would get out there with the rototiller thing and till it all under and try to get good soil going. They'd plant stuff, and, you know, my dad grew up on a farm, so he wanted to have his farm there in our backyard. And he had a little bit of farm. Fortunately, sometimes there was one church, was that in Clinton, that they let you have that little patch of ground. He had rows of corn growing out there. But anyway, I've seen how much work it is. I don't want to do that work. So the house we bought this last summer has a little garden in the back, and some of it's flowers, some of it's vegetables, and I don't eat a lot of vegetables anyway, but we've got neighbors across the street who were, they don't have anything, they have barely any yard at all. And so we were talking, I don't know, last fall, I guess, about this kind of thing. And I'm hopeful that they're going to come over and work in our garden, you know. And they can have the stuff that they grow, you know, as long as they make us a pie or make us a something, I don't know. as long as they do something. But, you know, gardening is hard work. It wouldn't be a pie made out of that stuff. What, rhubarb pie. Somebody just came over and took rhubarb. We have rhubarb. So anyway, I don't want any rhubarb pie. As long as they do something and give us something back, I don't care. They can do all the stuff they want back there. It also, this house also has three fruit trees, I think. Well, maybe four. One of them doesn't really do any fruit. It's an apricot tree, and it's pretty, but it doesn't make any fruit. And then there's a peach tree and two peach trees and a pear tree. And we need to call in an expert. We need to call in some kind of a gardener who knows fruit trees. If you know somebody, let me know. If you know fruit trees. Because we need to prune these things. We need to, well, for one thing, one of them is growing into the gutters. We know we got to take care of that. But like this last year, all kinds of peaches and pears grew, but they weren't necessarily great peaches and pears. You know, I mean, they were okay, but like the pears were all kind of funky looking and hard, and they never did quite ripen correctly. And, you know, and we read about, you know, when do you pick them, when don't you pick them, and all that kind of, we did our best, but we don't really know fruit, and we're not really gardeners, you know, so at least I'm not. And so, you know, we know that they need to be cared for. They need to be, that somebody who knows what they were doing could care for these trees, these plants, and could probably get some really good fruit off of these things. This is the image that Jesus uses. He says, look, I'm the true grapevine. I'm the one you've got to stay connected to. My Father is the gardener. He's the one that cares for all of you branches. He's the one that makes sure that you're bearing fruit, that you're staying connected, that you're healthy. He's the one that's going to come along and prune the branches that are bearing fruit so they can bear more fruit, so they can be even better. Now, Jesus kind of plays with a word here. You guys know what pruning is, right? They're like, I'm thinking of a branch on this peach tree in our backyard that, you know, all these different places that there are peaches hanging off this branch. Now, when they're just starting out, if we were to go out there with a knife and prune some of those back, or probably, I don't know how that's exact, it's probably another time of year we're supposed to do. Anyway, you know, there's so much juice that's going to flow through this branch, and it all then goes out into all these different peaches. Well, if there's 20 peaches, they all have to share that same amount of juice. You know, if there's 10 peaches, each of those peaches has more juice flowing to it, right? If there's two, they're going to be enormous. You know, see, I don't really know how this works, but something like that. You know, he says the Father prunes these branches. He cuts them clean of all the little side shoots and all the other things that could suck off attention, juice, life. He cuts those back so that the life that flows from the vine through the branch can go into the fruit. And you can end up with really good, juicy fruit, delicious. And so he plays with this word about being clean, that he cuts the branches clean, that he prunes these branches. Because then he says in the very next verse, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So evidently the thing the Father, the gardener, uses, the knife he uses to prune things away in our lives as the branches, is the word, the message of Jesus. That if we will obey the message of Jesus, if we'll pay attention to what he teaches us, then sometimes his message is going to challenge us to lose some things. Some things that would take our attention in other directions and keep us from bearing the fruit that he wants to see born in our lives, produced in our lives. See, he wants his life to flow through us, and he doesn't want it to be wasted. He wants that life that he gives us and the love that he gives us to flow out in good fruit, in making a difference in the world, in a transformed character, helping others to become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. He wants there to be fruit in our lives. He doesn't want the life and the love and the joy and all that he gives us, the freedom, the sense of relief, the sense of peace, that knowing that the God who created us loves us. He doesn't want that to just go off in 1,000 different directions. He wants to focus it. He wants to help you do the work he's prepared for you to do. Now, I'm guessing that's not pleasant for a branch to have bits cut off of it. I know it's not pleasant for you and for me when things get cut out of our lives, when the message that Jesus says to us, when his commandments come up against something in our life that we've enjoyed, something that we've thought was something we were going to do, and then we hear Jesus saying to us, no, that's not right. That's not the kind of life that a follower of mine lives. We're not selfish that way, or we don't pursue those kinds of things. And we have to step back and say, really, Jesus, are you sure? And he says, yeah. And we say, okay. Hopefully we say, okay. And we allow his message to prune that away from our life, to focus us in a new direction. Now, he also says that he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. He says a couple verses later, a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. You can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. It's this basic idea. If we are going to have the life of God flowing through us, if we're going to bear the fruit that God wants to be produced in our lives, we've got to stay connected to the vine. That to me is the main message here. Now, John kind of gets at it in his letter. He kind of does a similar thing in his letter where he says over and over again, you know, that, let's see, like in verse 12, no one's ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. To me, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about with the vine and branches image. God lives in us, just like the life flows through the vine into the branches, and his love is brought to full expression in us, just like that fruit is produced on that vine. And he goes on, he says, we live in him, he lives in us, and he says this over and over again. It was reminding me of, I don't know if any of you guys ever watched the TV show Friends, but as that was getting close to the end, and a couple was getting married, Joey went online and got himself some kind of a minister's license so that he could be the guy officiating at their wedding, and his message, his little talk at their wedding just cracked me up, because it was all about how, I should have gone back and looked at it, but it was all about how, you know, marriage is about loving and giving and sharing and receiving, and he just kept using the same words over and over again, and sharing and receiving, and you share with her, and she receives from you, and you share with him, and he receives from you, and he just kind of kept saying the same thing over and over again, and I feel that's what John does in his letter. He's like, you know, if we love, then God lives in us, and we live in him. And if we stay in him, then his love is made full and complete in us. And he keeps on going back and forth about how we live in him and he lives in us. And Jesus just kind of wrapped it up in a picture, you know, as a vine. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The life that flows through the vine into you, it flows through me. You got to stay connected to me. If you get disconnected from me, you can't bear fruit. If you get disconnected from me, you're not living the life you were created for. He says, those who don't remain in me, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you don't remain in me, you're thrown away like a useless branch, withered. You know, he said, that's not what God wants for any of us. He wants us to stay connected to our source of life. Now, I know in the past I've kind of seen this verse, and I've maybe even heard people talk about it, and you hear this and you think, okay, I got to make sure I'm bearing fruit. You know, I got to make sure I'm producing good fruit in my life. Well, that's kind of not his focus there. Yes, there needs to be fruit being produced in our lives. Our character needs to be changing. Was it Galatians chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul talks about the fruit that the Spirit produces in us? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says these are the kind of fruit that the Spirit produces in us. We need to have a changed character. We need to have the love of God being expressed through us toward others. That is important, but the thing that we keep being commanded to do by Jesus here is not, he doesn't say, so produce more fruit. What he says is, remain in me. Stay connected to me. Keep listening to my message so the Father can prune you clean, so that you can be purified, so you can be ready to produce fruit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can't do anything. How do you stay connected to God? How do you use last week's message? How do you make sure you're following the shepherd? Or another part of Scripture talks about keeping in step with the Spirit. You know, the Spirit's leading us, and we want to keep following Him. You know, I was thinking of that verse when we were reading the story about Philip in the Book of Acts, who, like, the Spirit's guiding him this direction and go down to this road, and he's there, and oh, hey, here a guy comes by, and oh, he happens to be reading Scripture, and hey, let me explain to you who the Scripture's about, and tells him all about Jesus, and baptizes him as a sign of his new faith in Christ, and then the Spirit snatches him away and takes him someplace else. He's just following the Spirit. He's letting the Spirit lead him into great conversations with people about Jesus. How do you stay How do you keep in step with the Spirit? How do you stay connected to the vine? How do you make sure that the love of God is alive in you? I really want some answers, so I'm curious. Last week I did the Phil Donahue thing. This week I just, you know, if you want to just shout something out. Is there anything that you do in your life to make sure that you're paying attention to Jesus? Is there anything you do, a pattern you've got in your life to make sure that you're, yeah? Reading the Bible? Okay, so what does that look like for you then? Sure. Yeah. Very cool. So you get up early and you read the Bible. Yeah, that's excellent. I think that's a fantastic idea. That's one of the reasons we gave you these little devotional guides for this Ashes to Fire journey we're doing, because every morning it gives you some scriptures to read and a prayer to pray and something to be reflecting on through the day. Anybody else something? Yeah. Okay. All right. And that's embarrassing to you, Chris. You're not on the phone with Chris. You're just talking to God about whatever. Yeah. Yeah. As long as no one else is in the car with you, that's fine. Yeah. You know, you talk to God out loud. That's great. She said starts her day with prayer and then just has a running conversation all day long, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, just keeping that conversation alive, being aware of Christ's presence with you throughout the day. You know, listening for what he might want to say to you. Because you guys know, you've told me that God speaks to you in all sorts of different ways. I mean, we know that he speaks just through his scriptures. You know, we're reading his scriptures, and all of a sudden his spirit is whispering to our soul that this is for us. You know, and we sense the Spirit of God speaking to us. But you've told me that sometimes it's a song on the radio, and the Spirit uses that to get your attention and to talk to you about something. Sometimes it's something somebody else does. Sometimes it's the person that cuts you off as you're talking to God in the car, and you start to react, and you sense the Holy Spirit kind of speaking to you about your reaction, and then that leads to a different kind of conversation with God. You know, maybe you've cried out his name in the middle of something like that, and so he says, yes, you wanted to talk to me? Is that okay? Anybody else? What's some way that something that you've done in your life to make sure you're staying connected to the vine? Okay. Yeah. Oh, you said not Christian radio like music, but other messages and things like that. Yeah. Yeah. There are great Christian radio stations that we can get here in Valparaiso. At least like two or three of them, I think. What are they anyway? There's 89.7 out of Olivet. 93. What did somebody say? There's a 93.5, 98.3 is a community station. It's not a Christian station. 104.7. Is that from South Bend or something? Okay. 89.9, 90.1. Yeah, just tossing these out there in case anybody wants to go check them later, you know, set your dial. You know, there's all kinds of great Christian radio. And yeah, you can listen to people talk about God's word through the day. You can listen to songs that are sung from a Christian perspective. That's a great way, especially if you spend a lot of time in your car or you got a radio there by your desk. Oh. Some of you work at computers, and I know you look up, like, you can stream different radio stations to your computer. I know somebody who's told me they do that with the Bible. They listen to the Bible because you can go to uversion.com. There's different websites online. You can go there, and somebody with a really nice voice will read scripture to you while you sit there and do your work. So, any other things that you guys have found that, yeah? Okay.
I have a little harder time expressing emotion on paper, I suppose.
Okay.
But it still helps kind of track kind of what God has done.
Yeah.
What life has brought to us. And then sometimes copying and pasting scripture, finding the best scriptures that really speak to you and accumulating them in one document.
Yeah. So you do this on the computer,
yeah.
Evidently. Okay. All the scriptures God is speaking to me through right now, all in one place. You just bring them all together. Yeah. That journaling, anything like that, is a great way to get your thoughts, your prayers on paper, to have some kind of a record of what God is saying to you. Because I know sometimes you're feeling discouraged, and you've got to go back and remind yourself, you know, how you were feeling 2 days ago when it felt like God was so close. You know, now he feels distant, but I know he's not. You know, I remember he was just saying this to me the other day, and you remind yourself. Or you look back years later and you see, man, how much God has helped me to grow in these last 2 years, you know, through this journey together. He's been with me through this and through this and through this. And if you keep a little journal, then yeah, you're able to go back and to reflect and to remember some of those things. That's a great way to keep that conversation going. Anything else? Anything that you've done that's helped you to stay connected to the vine? Yeah. 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 Right, yeah, getting together with other people who are your brothers and sisters in Christ, people who are on the journey together. They can encourage you, pray for you, remind you of things that you need reminded of. You know, you're in the middle of something and you can't quite see your way out, and somebody else is able to offer that word of encouragement, you know, or to remind you of that scripture that you'd forgotten, you know, and it speaks directly to what you're going through. Yeah, I know Jeff has helped to organize a breakfast for men every week here at the church. It's a great way to just get together with some guys and to be able to talk about what's going on and to be encouraged and be reminded. If there's anybody that wants to do that wants to get together with a handful of other folks, and you're like, but I don't really know how to make that happen, you know, you can always just walk up to somebody you like and say, hey, can we get coffee or something, you know. But if you want to do something with some other folks in the church, you're not sure, write that on the card. Say, you know what, I really want to start getting together with some other people, and we can help you connect with a little group of other folks. Anybody else? I don't want to cut anybody off. So anybody else that had another thing that you'd... Yeah, Dave. And you mentioned something I think is important in the middle of that. You try to share that with other people then. You try to let that life and that love flow through you. John got to that in his letter from 1 John, where he says, look, if we can say we're in this great relationship with God, I love God and he loves me and things are so great, but if we don't love the people around us, he says we're fooling ourselves, we're lying, we're not telling the truth. We can't say we love God and then hate the people around us, because that's just showing what's really going on in us, that it's not love. You know, love has to flow through us. If we can't keep it all bottled up to ourselves, you know, or it just dies. You know, we've talked about that before, about like the Dead Sea over there in Israel. Water flows into it and doesn't flow out, and it just goes there and dies. Nothing lives in there. The love of God has to flow through us. There has to be some fruit being produced in our lives so we know that life is still flowing, that life is really there. And then we can have, as he mentions in John, a clear conscience. Then we don't have to be afraid. Our love continues to grow more and more perfect. He continues to shape us. He continues to prune us. The gardener keeps working on our lives. I love that image, like God cares enough about you and about your growth and about the fruit and the work he wants to do through you, that he's willing to get on his hands and knees in the dirt. he's willing to prune. He's willing to clean you. He's willing to help you to grow in a good direction. This is a God who wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty, but a God who came in Jesus Christ and gave of himself, sacrificed himself for you and for me. It's a God who knows you intimately, who loves every detail of you, wants to help you become the person that he knows you can be. It is a beautiful thing to be loved by God. And he just says, look, you need to remain in me. You need to stay connected to me. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week as we get into the rest of that chapter of John. But right now, let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we thank you that when you found us stuck in our sin and not living a life that was pleasing to you at all, that you didn't just cast us aside, but you came to us. You grabbed a hold of us by your Holy Spirit. You You taught us the good news about Jesus Christ. You brought us to a place where we were willing to say yes to you. You forgave our sins. You washed us and made us clean. Now, God, we pray for your help, that you will help us to stay connected to you, to not drift away, to not think we can do it on our own. Remind us, God, that Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to stay connected to you. You are our source of life and strength and joy and hope and all the rest. We want your life to be flowing through us. We want to be filled with your love to the point where we just can't help but produce good fruit, where we just can't help but love the people around us. So God, help us to stay connected to you. Help us to keep reading your word, to keep listening for your voice. Help us to keep connecting with each other and encouraging each other and supporting each other and praying for each other. Help us, God, to keep doing all that we can to keep the conversation with you alive, to keep paying attention to you so you can keep working. So you can keep working in us. You can keep working on us. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that you were not afraid to get your hands dirty. But you have entered into the mess of our lives in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish, won't be some disconnected, fruitless vine that gets tossed into the fire, but that we will have everlasting life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking our sin on yourself and by your death and resurrection, breaking the power of sin so that today we can be free, so that today we can have your resurrection life flowing through us. In just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion together, as Christians have been doing for thousands of years. God, would you receive these gifts of bread and juice? Bless them and make them for us today, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you extend to each and every one of us. We thank you, God, and we look forward to the fruit that you're going to produce in our lives as we stay connected to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We are going to celebrate communion together before we go. And with this being the first Sunday of the month, we invite the kids to join us for this because we want you as parents to have the chance to decide if you want them to participate or not. The celebration of communion is open to anybody. You don't have to have been through any Living Hope 101 class or anything else. If today you're saying yes to Jesus, you're invited to come. You're invited to come and celebrate today the giving of his life for you and for me. So this is what we do. We're going to have a song is going to play, and I'm going to be up here with a basket of bread and a cup with juice, and you're invited to come, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it. If today you're trusting Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if today you want to stay connected to the vine, you're invited to come. Now, most Sundays, the band plays a song for us, and so they're up here while we're all celebrating communion, and I end up serving them communion like after the service has ended. But today, we wanted them to be able to celebrate with us and with their families, and so we've got another church has done a great recording of this song. And so we're gonna play the song, and you're invited to sing it together as we celebrate communion. And let's celebrate God's goodness to us. He's shown us in Jesus Christ. thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us, sharing your life with us today. Help us to stay connected to you this week, to pay attention to your word, to allow the loving hands of our Heavenly Father to prune us and to make us clean so that we can bear fruit for you, for the world. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.